truth is censored, one name stands out: Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com, and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
Morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly morning coffee. The last 22 years, I've been doing lots of interviews, and I just wanted to do things that was a little bit more casual, a little bit more open conversation with the people that come and join us here on Tuesday morning coffee, and to do an educational sort of process of just answering your questions directly to the best that I can. You know, just think about this event as if we were planning to meet locally at a local coffee shop, and we have our morning coffee. And this is my coffee cup for this morning. It's one of my favorites, actually, from the store. It says it's part of my podcast, I'm Walking with God. I really like it a lot. So remember, I can't answer any personal medical advice. So please keep that in mind. And when you ask your questions, which I hope you do, I hope you bring your questions to have this conversation to make it be more interactive. That just kind of form them in a generic sort of format so that we can answer your questions. So I just did something kind of fun this morning that I wanted to just share with everybody. You know, there are elements about me that people just really don't know. And I live in a nice house. It's got some nice landscaping on the front, and that just bring out these incredible, beautiful flowers. So I think this started probably end of May, first part of June, that I just, let me see if I can make this work for everybody. It's this one there. Can you guys see that screen? Cookie?
Yep, I can see it now.
Okay, good. So this was out front. I had planted last fall. There's an area that my house, these houses in this neighborhood are on a septic, and there's an area that around it's kind of like just dirt. And I had actually found this at Home Depot, believe it or not, that I went to Home Depot, and I got these two big bags that said wildflower seeds. And I just sprinkled it across. And this was the part of what started coming up for the wildflowers. So there was these red berry ones and the yellow and all these different blue ones that were just wildflowers. So that was really kind of cool. Let me see. And then these started coming like in waves, like waves at a time. So that was the first one. That's a little bit closer up on the different types of flowers that were there. And then I had a whole group, like I have a big grouping of irises. So the purple irises came up next with these little purple wildflowers and the little yellow flowers that I put in there together. And then my roses started to bloom. And this was some of the, I've got these big plants. I don't even know what they are, but they had these big, really pretty red flowers with these little berries on them. So in about a week or two later, I picked off some of the roses and some more of the little wildflowers. You can see those little purple and the blue ones. And the red ones that came off of those big bushes. And that was honestly, that was the front of the little arrangement. And that was the backside of the arrangement that you could see all those red flowers that were there. And then my lilies started to bloom. And I've got three lilies that, you know, if you get lilies just from the regular store, lilies are perennials. and they can survive up to like 20 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. And so, you know, after you have them in your house and they're like a green plant all summer, I've just gone out and I've got four different varietals that I've planted that I've had these little lily house plants in the house. And, you know, and then in the fall, I go out and I plant them. Well, this was one of them that had just bloomed up. And, you know, so a little bit more of the wildflowers and that just bloomed up from the lilies that grow up every single year. And my hostas started to having some pink flowers with, again, the wildflowers that were just growing. And they were very tall. The wildflowers were, maybe 4 feet tall. There was three waves of them. The first were these little red ones that they looked like they would be prickly, but when you touched them, they were really soft. So there was this whole big group of like red ones. And then these blue ones came up. And then you can see like these little yellow ones came up after that. And so these little yellow ones were after the red ones had come and kind of faded away. And then the blue ones, which were about 3 feet tall, these yellow ones, which were like over 4 feet tall, kind of came. And those were kind of the last of the wildflowers of what was happening in that little area. That, and my roses were doing so well this summer. That's just like, you know, pretty amazing. And I ended up with right above where I sit outside on the porch, there was a robin's nest. And there were three little robins that hatched out of that little nest. And so I looked up and they seemed to be growing so fast. They didn't seem like, you know, like within a couple of days, literally, they looked like they were pushing each other out of that little nest. So I looked it up. And as it turns out, robins, from the time they hatch until the time they leave the nest, is somewhere between 14 and 17 days. So they grow from in the egg to enough that they can fly off within 2 weeks, you know, and the mom. And then I found out that the mother and the father robin, the robin sort of takes turn protecting them while the mother's going out and finding bugs and worms and stuff like that. And that they leave within 14 to 17 days and they don't come back. And then I found out that the life expectancy of the regular common robin is about 2 years, which really surprised me because they said that they don't survive the winter very well. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't remember seeing a bunch of dead birds laying around anywhere. And I guess that there were some of them live a long time in that by the some that they've done like those legging bands, those little bands on their legs, that they did track one robin that had lived for 15 years. But as a general rule, I guess their life expectancy is about 2 years. So I was having fun kind of sitting out there and watching them and watching, you know, the mom and the dad sort of like take care of those little robins. And then these were my pride and joy this year. These are called trumpet lilies. And this has been growing for about 7 years. And again, it started out with just one of those little lily house plants, had these same sort of flowers on it. In the fall, I had gone out and planted it. And I think this is about the sixth or seventh year that they've grown up. And this year, I paid much closer attention in April, since I wasn't gone for the month, to spraying and protecting all the little buds as they come up from the deer that come and chomp them down. So I ended up with a huge amount. And I will tell you, these pods up here at the top, that's over 6 feet tall. It's over 6 feet tall, and the whole neighborhood just smells like lilies. Well, if you guys remember last Thursday night, if you were watching Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P, and then during our boot camp, I think it was a little bit later. It may have been during the boot camp in the evening. We had a huge thunderstorm. We got 3 inches of rain in 45 minutes. So the next day when I went out to kind of look at all of my different flowers, About a third of these plants, the ones that are kind of closest to the house, had broken off in that great big thunderstorm, because it was just downpour, torrential. There wasn't much wind. It was just downpour pouring. And as you can tell, these plants, they're big and they're kind of top heavy. So they had they're this big. I mean, they're just amazing. And they were kind of top heavy. So the ones that were bent over, I brought them in the house. And so they've been here on my kitchen counter in the same place where I showed you those other pictures. And just to give you some perspective on how big these lilies are, I took that picture with my hand. So that's one right up against like one lily. So you can tell how huge this clump of lilies sort of is and how much it smells just so wonderful. So now I walk into my kitchen in the morning and I've got two. I just counted them yesterday. In one vase, there's like 40 of these big blooms and the pods. And in another vase, there's about 20. It's this little bit smaller vase. So it's just wonderful to just have them there. They're probably going to be maybe another week, maybe at the most another week. And so when I went back outside, I don't know if this goes to the next one. No. So when I went back outside the next day, after I cut down the ones that had fallen over and brought them in the house, it looked like the other ones were starting to lean over. And I just thought how wonderful that is, how it is in nature that they were all clumped together and kind of leaning on each other to hold each other up. And when a third of what they were leaning on is now gone, they didn't have the same thing and they were starting to lean over. So I went in my house and I got two bungee cords and I wrapped them all together. And I mean, it's really like maybe 3 feet around and I wrapped them all together. This is where it gets funny. And then I'm almost done with this stuff. And I wrapped them all together and stood them up straight. And I went in the house. And I looked when I went in the bathroom, all this stuff, all this pollen stuff had gotten in my hair and my hair was bright orange. I mean, orange, bright orange. And it was on my one arm that looked like bright orange, but it was in my hair and it took 3 days to wash it out. In fact, I thought that by the time I got to morning coffee, I was going to be able to have to tell people, no, I'm not like doing funky woke things about, you know, purple hair, pink hair, green hair, and orange hair. That was just from me messing with my flowers. But it took 3 days to wash it all out. It was kind of funny, actually. I was kind of laughing about it. And then one last thing, I got this on the back, there's a fence there. And Michelle actually bought me this for Christmas a couple of years ago. And then I was doing some remodeling outside and it was black. And I had gone to just over to Drug Mart, got some metal silver spray paint. So I spray painted that and a couple of other things that I have sitting out on the patio. And so I hung it on the fence and there's two little hanging baskets. I don't know how well you can see it. There's two little hanging baskets of, I think they're petunias on either, or maybe they're begonias on either side of it. But what's so cool about that is that somehow that paint absorbs light. And so at night when it's pitch black out and there's no other lights on, I mean, this is from a camera flash where you can see it. There's no other lights on. It's hanging on my fence where I can sit outside and look at it and it glows in the dark. What a cool reminder. Like right before you go to sleep, it says, give it to God and go to sleep. So it glows in the dark. So when it's bedtime, it's out there and you can sort of see it. So anyways, that was just that. I just wanted to stop, share a screen on that. Just want to kind of share with you that I do a lot of things with my flowers and I just really love them. I just love going. I've got a little patio out on the front where all these flowers are growing and I just love going out there and just sort of like playing with them because I think they're just really super cool. So anyways, I hope that was just sort of a bright way to sort of start your day and say that, oh, there's another side of Dr. T that I didn't know anything about. She does stuff with flowers. That's another thing. So let me see. Do we have any questions over in the Q&A? Yes, there's a couple questions. So Diane says, I've been seeing quite a few suggestions about the benefits of castor oil. Any comments? I don't have any comments. I know a lot of people use castor oil. They use these things called castor oil packs, and I don't even know how it's done, but they take castor oil and they put it on their stomach or various different places. I've never done it. I've never used it. I'm assuming that it's an old time remedy that they've used for a really, really long time, but I don't have any particular comments one way or another because I really don't know much about it. So I'm sure that when you're reading it, there's probably a lot of people who have a lot more experience with that than what I do. Jackie asks, is it safe to swim with vax friends in a pool and still avoid shedding? My husband is growing weary of avoiding social time with friends and family. You know, the five docs, we had a big conversation about that early on with all of this jab stuff. And it was really pretty much sort of like an agreement. And I think that Dr. Carrie Madej had brought in some information. And I think Lee Merritt brought in some information too that said that, you know, it's skin to skin contact with these exosomes that we think contain spike protein, maybe hydrogel, maybe graphene oxide, but it's skin to skin contact. And that there didn't seem to be any shedding or transmission inside of hot tubs and swimming pools. So again, when we've talked about things like this, you know, I always say there is no commercially available product to measure spike proteins or to measure hydrogel or to, you know, spit in a cup and see, you know, what sort of exosomes and things that you have in there. And so we don't really know. And I don't know who's going to provide the funding to do that. Peter McCullough told me the other day that he knows of two companies that are trying to bring to market a commercially available spike protein test to measure the amount of spike proteins that's in your blood, saliva, urine, or stool. I'm not sure which format that they're using from that, but I guess that's a place to start. You'll have some idea of how much is floating around in your system, but this is a protein that adheres to tissue, gets embedded inside of testicles and ovaries, gets embedded inside of liver and kidneys and your heart for the myocarditis and the brain tissue and all these different things. So, you know, they have kind of stopped pushing the jabs right now because I think I heard yesterday, I was listening to a podcast that they're pretty sure that globally, worldwide, about 5.5 billion people have taken at least one of the jabs. And if you've taken at least one, you're at risk for everything that the shots deliver. The whole concept about, you know, they think that maybe a third of them were, quote, placebos. I don't know if you listened to Critically Thinking, not last week, maybe the week before, Larry and I sort of had a banter about that. I kind of think that a placebo is never really a shot of saline. I mean, it's not true inside of the vaccine research on, like, you know, when they bring a new hepatitis B vaccine to market, why should it be available in this COVID shot? Larry's position is that, well, they have to have a bunch of placebos where people will go, I got two shots, I'm fine. And then they get the booster, and it's really the booster shots that either does antibody-dependent enhancement that makes them a whole lot sicker, or it's something in the booster shots that is the full load of the messenger RNA, the spike protein, the nanobots, and all those different things. I listened to a podcast last night. It was really a presentation. That this gal had put together all this stuff. And I think that the title of that presentation was how the stuff in the jabs, the bioweapons that were actually charged and injected into the body are going, and they're going to use 5G, 6G, and another really high up to 10G level of technology to, and that's why they're putting up all of these satellites. Apparently Elon Musk has requests in to be able to launch 40,000 satellites, which will make our stuff circling the earth really crowded up there. I wonder how they keep them from banging into each other. So, but anyways, that's really, it's about, you know, hooking us up to the Internet of Things. Cookie, I think I posted that in our Telegram chat, if you want to pull up that link.
Regarding Elon?
No, it was the link about, for this presentation, it said, you know, how the powers that be are planning to
The Great Reset one.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. I'll get it right now.
Yeah. So people can watch that. A word of caution, I would say don't wash it before you go to bed. It's kind of creepy. And we'll give you kind of a, maybe give you bad dreams. I'm not really sure. But it's one more reason why I think you need to be protected and why EMF Soul is so important to us. And I've got whole house protectors. I've got all of my screens and everything that's down here. I've got those on the EMF Soul protector things. And it's made such a huge difference to me. Because, you know, there are days when I'm sitting in this very chair doing podcasts and recordings and doing interviews for other people's shows and stuff like that, you know, like 10 to 12 hours a day. And I used to go upstairs and just feel like a wet noodle, man. I'd just be wiped out. And now that I've got a surge protector in each of the walls over here, and I've got it on my phone, and I've got it on all of my big equipment down here to do the podcast. You know, I'll go up at the end of the day and I'll be tired just because it was a lot of work. People don't realize how much work it is to do a podcast. It's a lot of work. I mean, to stay totally focused and attention, to listen to your guest, to ask intelligent questions, to not cut them off, except to kind of guide them along the way. And so after 10 or 12 hours of that, it's kind of tiring. And so now I go upstairs and I'm just tired because it's been a long day. But I'm not wiped out because of all the EMFs. So the EMF Soul, Cookie put the link up there. EMF Soul, if you go to that link and use our affiliate link, when you scroll down the page, there's a place in there where you can get a free analysis of your house and what your needs are. And they, you know, they'll ask you questions like how many wireless devices do you have in the house? How many wireless printers do you have? Do you have like wireless Wi-Fi and screen and big TV screens? They'll ask you a bunch of questions, and then they'll make a recommendation on what they think that you need to do to remediate or mitigate those EMFs. And I would just suggest to people that they'll help you to prioritize what they think is the most important. And then if you can't afford to buy all of it at one time, you know, buy one piece and then another and another and another, and you just sort of like roll it in from that sort of perspective. You know, a couple weeks ago on my Brighteon TV show, which is on Monday night, I'm Brighteon.tv. I had interviews with two EMF experts, one from St. Louis and one from Michigan. And they have actually tested these EMF Soul devices for actually, because they do sick building remediation. That's what they do for homes and for commercial properties. And they've actually tested these products, and they say they really, really do work. They really do block out as much EMFs as they possibly can. I don't think it's possible to block out 100%, but if you can take out 80 or 90% of what you're constantly being exposed to, it's so much better for your health and everything like that. So I think that's really super good. Julie asked about when we talked about strontium for osteoporosis. That's a long-term supplement. I mean, it's like you would take, if you've got osteoporosis or osteopenia, that you would take calcium, or you would increase your calcium types of foods. Well, strontium is the same thing, because if you remember how I said strontium works is, I have something to demonstrate here. Let's just say that this is a cross section of your bone. Okay, the inside of your bone is where the bone marrow is. And then see where the white is on the outside of that, if it was a little bit wider, that's the cortex of your bone. That's when you get a bone density test. That's what they're looking at to see if it still has its density. Well, if it's, so say it's just a little, just for the sake of discussion, it's a little bit wider, that's your cortex. Now, if you cut that cortex in half, what's inside of that is a meshy thing. It looks like a netting or a webbing. And it's that webbing on the inside of the cortex that where the calcium and magnesium and other types of nutrients, boron, that's what sticks to the inside of your bone that strengthens the cortex. So it can improve your bone density. What the strontium does is it feeds that matrix and makes that healthier and stronger, so it can hold more calcium, magnesium, boron, and other types of minerals in that. So the strontium is really important to maintain the the cortex of your bone. So I would say that if you've got osteoporosis for sure, and if you have osteopenia, it's really good to stay on that long term. And that, remember, we said that both the strontium and the calcium are absorbed through the same channels into your body and into your bone. So it's good to take them at separate times. You know, take your calcium or calcium and magnesium maybe at bedtime, take the strontium some other time during the day, so that you can maximize the absorption of both of those. So I would say that that is a long-term thing if you've got some bone issues. If you really don't have bone issues and you're just kind of doing it for bone health, I would say maybe twice a week or a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because again, there isn't anything else out there. And there really isn't, there might be, I didn't look it up, much in the way of strontium inside of foods that you can take, but at least a couple of times a week to feed the health of that bony matrix inside of the cortex of your bone. Liz says, have I seen the line of Starlink satellites in the sky? I've seen it twice in the sky, super strange, and they're eerie looking. I have not seen them, but I live in the city. So even though I live in a suburb, you know, there's a lot of ground light. And so I suppose when you actually can see satellite moving, and you know, occasionally you can see a satellite go by, and you know it's a satellite because of how fast it moves. It goes really fast. And so, but I think if you're out in the country where you don't have a lot of ambient light from street lights and all these other things, that you'll probably be able to see them a little bit better. I guess there was a question somewhere else, Cookie, from Molly John, that there was a question that added at 8:58. It didn't come in through the Q&A.
I think it is in the Q&A. It says, what are your thoughts on regular screenings for breast and colon mammograms and colonoscopies? Is a breast thermogram reliable in lieu of mammograms? I can't get a doctor to order just an ultrasound.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's break that apart a little bit. Let's just talk about the colonoscopies first. I did a 4-part series in my Substack, and actually we're working on putting it together in an ebook that's been languishing. Hopefully it'll get done soon, but it's we're putting it together so it's all in one place. Epoch Times even picked it up and put it. I've got a page on Epoch Times where they pick up our articles out of my Substacks and post them out there. It was a 4-part series on screening colonoscopies. So I would direct you, Molly, to go to, you know, Eye on the Evidence, which is dr10penny.substack.com. And you can scroll back through, and it's a 4-part series about colonoscopies, and then make your decision from there. I personally, the only reason I'm not trying to avoid your question, I'm just saying that there's a lot to say about it. And that's why I wrote it into four, it's about 8,000 words. It's pretty long when you add them all together. But the bottom line is unless you've got a strong family history or you've got other reasons to be scoped, I think that there are other tests, particularly tests like the Cologuard test, which has a 98% specificity. It tests your stool for, I believe, 8 or 9 different markers for colon cancer. It's just from a simple stool specimen. And of course, the doctors don't really like it because it's taking money out of their pockets for the colonoscopies. But, you know, colonoscopy is not without risk. I mean, there are lots of potentials for infection, for perforation. And I think that colonoscopy should be used diagnostically more than preventively. And there's a lot of good references and articles that talk about that they've done, you know, studies where they've had they did these in China and South Korea, where the patient agreed to do 2 colonoscopies almost in a row, maybe one day apart, and one by one practitioner and another by another practitioner. And even if they found something, even like a polyp or something like that, the first practitioner would just let it sit there. And then the second practitioner, if they found something, they would take it out. But the first practitioner would document what they saw, and then they compared the two, and the differences were huge in very many patients. That and a lot of it depends on how slowly the colonoscopy or the sigmoidoscopy is done, how good the practitioner is, how experienced they are, whether or not they're going to see the problems that they're looking for. So in my opinion, I think colon health is better monitored or checked by the Cologuard test. And if that comes back positive, and actually I'll tell you a story about that. I mean, we've been using Cologuard at our clinic at 10 Penny Integrated Medical Center in Cleveland. We've been using that Cologuard for a couple years, and I'd never seen a positive one. And I thought, What if this test really does work? I mean, you'd think that you'd see one or two. And it's so, but I had a patient that came in, she's 60. She's very thin. She's a triathlete. And she wanted to get a Cologuard test done. So we did, and it came back positive, which then if it's positive, that is an indication to get a colonoscopy done, because now they've found something in this stool that's abnormal and you need to go in and use the colonoscopy diagnostically to identify it. And they found a couple of polyps, and one of them was highly aggressive. It was a highly aggressive precancerous polyp, which of course they moved and she was cured and it was done. So it does work. It has good benefits. And that's what I think for screening on colonoscopies. With screening for breast health, you know, breast thermographies, if they're done correctly, if they're done correctly, are, you know, the first signal that there's something abnormal going on in the breast tissue. It is a test of your physiology. A mammogram is an X-ray of your anatomy. So they're looking at your breast tissue from two different perspectives. Thermography was approved as an FDA, got an FDA approval for screening your tissue for breast health. It was never meant to be a standalone test, if, you know, in terms of what they're actually looking for. And it's a screening tool, sort of like, it kind of falls in the same category as the Cologuard test. It's a screening test that if something is identified there, then you've got some in the algorithm. So thermograms are scored on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 and 2 being normal, 3 being equivocal, 4 and 5 are higher risk, and there is probably something going on in your breast tissue. Now, it could just be inflammation. It could be a heavy metal that's sitting in there causing inflammation. It could be a lack of iodine, which is really important for your breasts. It could be it could be scar tissue. It could be a lot of things. And usually in our practice, what we've done, if somebody has particularly a 3 or a 3 and a 4, we have a whole set of breast health supplements that we recommend. You know, the one that we have in the store, it's called Opti Breast Health, is a really, really important product that we use for anybody that's got any sort of breast conditions. And then we also recommend iodine. Now, if you have a thyroid condition, you need to work with somebody who's familiar with how to monitor your iodine for your breast health. But that Opti Breast Health is something we use for almost everybody that's got like a 3 or a 4. And then we'll do that for 4 months, because it's been over time and experience that it takes about 4 months of changing your diet, changing your health, adding in supplements before you will actually see that change in the physiology that would warrant repeating the thermogram. So we'll get a baseline thermogram. If it's a 1 or a 2, that's great. Keep doing what you're doing. If it's a 3 or a 4, we actually have a conversation with the patient and say, this is what we generally recommend, this core set of breast health supplements. And then we will repeat the thermogram in 4 months. If during that 4 month period of time, it gets better, well, then we've resolved the problem. We've taken care of the nutrient deficiency, whatever the inflammation is. If it's the same, or if it's gotten worse, if it's gone from a 4 to a 5, then you absolutely need to get a mammogram, maybe an ultrasound, maybe an breast MRI, depending on what they see, equivocal stuff on the mammogram. And that is how a thermogram is supposed to be used appropriately. The other way it's supposed to be used appropriately is if you have a palpable breast lump. And this is the one piece that I really wish conventional medicine would get their head around with thermograms, is that because the literature's been published since the 80s, and they've done a lot of research here in the States. There were huge, big studies that involved like 60,000 women. These were not just one-off anecdotal reports. They were long-term studies that followed women for 5 to 12 years, 60,000. It's difficult to get any type of research done at that level, even these days, because it's complicated and it's expensive. But these were published that were studied in the late 80s or in the early 90s that showed that when you start to see something change on a thermogram, that's the first signal that something's happening, either a cancer cell, inflammation, nutrient deficiency, something. And on a breast lump, you know, Kaiserlink published this. He did a couple of huge studies. He was from Montreal, and he did a and his story is, and I knew him. He was quite a bit older than me. I'm sure he's retired or maybe passed by now, but I met him at a conference. This would have been, you know, maybe late 90s, maybe like 98, 99. And I talked to him about what he had done. Well, he was a breast surgeon, and he bought a new office, and in the office was a thermogram machine that was left behind by the person who previously owned the office. So he said, I'm just going to play around with this thing and see if there's any validity to it at all. So the lion's share of what he has, or what of the patients he would see, were women who had discovered a breast lump, or their doctor had found a breast lump on a breast exam, and what they would sent, they were being sent to Dr. Kaiserlink to do a biopsy. So every single patient that came in the door, he just got a thermogram on them. You know, here's a breast lump. Let's see, is it hot or is it not hot? And let's just see what it shows. And I think there were 400 or some women in that first study that he published, which was about 3 years. And that's all he did. He didn't prep them. He didn't do anything else. All he wanted to see was, is there any value of this thermogram to differentiate if it's a hot nodule versus a cold nodule? And then he did the biopsies anyways. And what was the correlation between the hot nodule in the biopsy or the cold nodule in the biopsy? And he found that it was about a 98 to 99% correlation, that if it was a cold nodule on the thermogram, it was an adenoma or some tissue that looks almost like an eraser on the end of a pencil, that was just, and we know that over 90% of breast lumps are benign and they come from all the environmental toxins and the stuff that we have. But the ones that were hot, there was almost 100% correlation between a hot nodule that was seen on a thermogram and a positive cancer diagnosis on the biopsy. So to me, that is the one area that I really wish that conventional medicine would get their head around for using thermography for screening. Because if it's a cold nodule, I mean, they could follow it for every 3 to 4 months on thermography to see if it ever heats up. Because prior to when they started doing mammograms all the time, breast cancer was mostly diagnosed after death at autopsies. This was back in the 50s and 60s when they did autopsies on most everybody that died. And so we know that women can have these benign breast lumps. I mean, as soon as they find a lump, they're really scared and really worried, and it takes forever to get all these tests and things done. And if it's ductal carcinoma in situ stage 1, depending on who you read and depending on who you want to believe, there is a huge body of literature out there that says it's really not even cancer. But the breast surgeons and the oncologists, because they get paid a lot of money to treat it, what they will say is, well, it's carcinoma, ductal carcinoma in situ stage 1. We need to treat it aggressively because we know that most of these will resolve on their own, like most of them, but there's a certain small percentage that will turn into something more aggressive. So they take a bazooka after a gnat, and mostly all of those are treated like it was a very aggressive cancer. And it's what keeps the cancer stats good, because if they take a non-aggressive lesion and they treat it with surgery, chemo, or radiation, and they can call it a cure, then they can get money and say, well, we're treating breast cancer appropriately, and because the numbers are good. I'm really hoping to do a full day webinar, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 hour webinar on breast health this fall. In fact, I think that our staff has been posting some questionnaires out there on some of our social media sites, asking people about their interest for doing a really in-depth detail about thermograms and mammograms and breast health things, and really talk about what angiogenesis is, with the formation of new blood cells. And that's why you can pick up the heat on thermography. And, you know, it's a big topic. In fact, my one slide deck I have on it, I have over 120 slides in that slide deck. So there's a lot of things that are there. So I hope that gives you, Molly, a little bit of an answer. The colonoscopy I think they should be used as a diagnostic test, not as a screening test. Please go to my Substack and read all four parts of those articles. Breast thermogram, it's a screening test, and it needs to be done appropriately. And that's another thing that we'll talk about in the webinar, is that there are companies out there, they call them mobile techs, where people have a thermography camera, it looks like a suitcase, and they go from office to office to office. The problem with that is it's not standardized, it's not temperature controlled, and those machines are kind of fragile and they're getting banged around in a suitcase all the time. You have to wonder what the validity of those reports are. So that's just that. I know a person that took 3 Moderna shots and now has triglyceride level over 1,000. Any supplement that might help lowering that? Yes. Triglycerides are, when they pump up like that, it's a liver thing. So I would say milk thistle, and we have that in the store, Opti Milk Thistle, Opti NAC, because the two of them work synergistically together better than alone. And then there's another supplement we have, it's called Citronox, which has citrulline in it and a couple of other things that help to metabolize and lower both triglycerides and cholesterol. It's called Citronox, Citronox, Citronox. Maybe it's Opti-Citronox, but that may help. But if they've really tanked out their liver, all you can do is try, I guess. Speaking of supplements, I just want to mention a couple of things that were on our Friday Focus email list. I really, really hope that all of you guys sign up, go to drtenpenny.com and sign up for our Friday Focus, where we talk about food as medicine. The girls work really hard on these webs, on these emails to put them together. They have sort of a template, but they're always so pretty. They're always so beautifully done. And I'm always kind of saying, can't we do something else with these? Because they're just really well done. We always have a superfood health tip that's in there. We're talking about superfoods as that are super for you. And there's a meal on the run special in there this week for super green juice. That's $50 off, $50 off. That's a huge savings. We put some links to some of my Substacks in there. My Pillow has a special this week on kitchen towel sets, where if you use, go to mypillow.com and use our affiliate code DRT, which helps us, you get 25% off on their whole sets of kitchen towels. If that's something you need, or if you're thinking about your kids are going off to college this fall and they're going to live in an apartment, they're going to need something like that. So you can get 25% off at mypillow.com. For this week is their special on their kitchen towels. I also want to say, if you are in the in the Dayton area, it says on the email from Brookville, Ohio. Well, Brookville is just a little bit north of Dayton. It's not quite halfway between Dayton and Lima, but it's basically in Dayton. And this is the third year that I'm speaking at the Go Therefore conference. That's sponsored by, Dr. Pastor Mike Spalding, who did that 4-part series with us on the books that he has about the Book of Revelation. So Mike Spalding will be there. Derek and Sharon Gilbert will be there, that we did the entire series with them on the second return of Saturn. L.A. Marzulli will be there, that we did a 4-part series with L.A. on all things about UFOs and all stuff like that. David Heavener will be there, and all the stuff that does. Coach Dave, who's been a guest frequently on our happy hour shows, Coach Dave will be there. I did a happy hour a couple weeks ago with Nathan Breeman, when he talks about dreams and dreaming from a spiritual perspective. He's going to be at the event. Kenny Say will be there. Now, Kenny Say is one of our big testimonials that we have for the ECP clinics, which I'll talk about that in just a minute. But Pastor McLeod's going to be there. Pastor, I've been on his show and he's been on our show, and Pastor McLeod, we're really, really good friends. We actually chat back and forth on text really quite frequently. So he will be there. Tom Dunn will be there, Randy Conaway, and Dr. Greg Reid, and also Michael Lake. And we're waiting back to hear from Dr. Michael Lake to see if we're going to be able to do a series with him for the month of September. Now, remember, right now in this series in here in July, I think we're almost to the end of it, is the, or maybe I think this week might be the last one, or last week was the last one, with Pastor J.B. Hickson on the spirit of the Antichrist. It's been hugely popular. His books are easy to read. They are books that I strongly encourage everybody to get in their library. And as you know, what I usually say to most everybody is that go to Amazon, read about the book, read the reviews, and then if possible, go to the author's website and buy directly from the author. And so you're not feeding the beast, number one, and number two, you're directly supporting the author's work. And also in our newsletter, this is our last week, we've run a 2-week special on our ECP beds clinics, both here in Cleveland and in our center that's in Ventura, California, which is ECP Studio, which is in California, and Tenpenny Health Restoration Center, which is here in Middleburg Heights, that it's a $250 off package, whether you, off a package, whether you buy 10 sessions, 20 sessions, or 35 sessions. So you get to choose which one you want to do. You can get $250 off of each one of the packages. You can call the ECP clinic and talk to a nurse practitioner if you have some questions. If you go to tenpennyecp.com, you can read all about ECP. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that this weekend at the Go Therefore conference. But I'm doing a new presentation I put together. It's called The 10 Reasons You Need to Stay in the Game. So we're going to be talking about really specific things there. Or in California, ECP Studio, it's ecpstudio.com. So I hope, the Substacks that they put in there was about being courageous on my Walking with God Substack, what I do on Sunday morning. And then the Substack that I wrote a while back, a couple months ago, on what are they doing to our fruits and vegetables? What is that happening? And then Layla Ali, you know, she's got a new packaging for her spices. We haven't talked about her spices very much lately, but she's got a 15% off deal. If you go to her website about the Spice Blend Trio, I've got two sets of these. I go through them all the time. I mean, I use them on everything. I just love them because they're as organic as you can get them. And Layla started this company because she said, you know, people read labels and they are all about shopping organic and doing things like using the thing morning that we talked about, using permanganate to get the chemicals and stuff out. And then they cook their food and they sprinkle toxic, you know, synthetic chemicals on top of their food for flavoring. So that's how she developed this brand, and it's organic, no GMO, no sugar, it's gluten-free and no chemicals. If you use our link and use our affiliate code, which is DRT, you can get 15% off. Again, it would be a nice going away present if somebody's going off to college, or, you know, you can start stocking up for Christmas. You know, next week is August the 1st already, you know, so I always August and September, I try to start looking for things so I don't have the last minute smash of trying to buy gifts for people. So you can get them and, you know, put them in a cool place in your house and keep them and have things already stocked up at that 15% discount. And actually on our email list this week for the Friday Focus, Layla Ali actually even came up with it's called Sassy Italian Vinaigrette Dressing, which you use several of her spices, some Dijon mustard, some olive oil, some white vinegar, some optional honey if you want a little sweet to the tart, and an optional Parmesan cheese if you want that. And then there's an article that's from Baxter on the other white meat that is called the selling cell cultivated chicken meat. Ooh. And you'll want to know all about this. And that's also inside of our newsletter. I think Cookie actually put that. I know it's really, Heather, no kidding, it's puke. So we try to offset some, you know, in our newsletters, we offset educational things, educational material with announcements, like I'm speaking at the conference and also the announcement in our ECP clinics for this week and next week only. It's just a 2-week. And why are we doing that? Because it's a 1-year anniversary special of the opening of these clinics. We opened them in July and August of last year. And, you know, when I talk to my staff over at the ECP clinics, I mean, on the one hand, it seems like it's been like a blink. It's been a year already. And the other, it's been like, oh my gosh, it's been like 10 years because it's been a struggle as a new startup to educate people of the value of why this is so important. That's why I'm excited to see Kenny Say at the Go Therefore conference this week, because I met Kenny last year when I spoke at the Go Therefore conference. He's 51 or two, somewhere around there, maybe 53. Used to play in a rock band. It was a setup band for the band Journey. Has had 7 stents. I think he had open heart surgery. He's diabetic. He was overweight. And his doctors had told him there wasn't anything else that they could do for him. And he popped nitroglycerin pills because of all the chest pain that he had. He popped those like they were M&Ms. And he came and spent 3 weeks at the clinic. He found online a friend that he had gone to grade school with and stayed as his guest here in Cleveland. And within the first 2 weeks, he was able to go with his friend to Niagara Falls, which is about a 4-hour drive from here, and walk all around Niagara Falls. There's a lot of steps and things like that with minimal use of nitroglycerin and no shortness of breath. And now over the course of this year, after going through 35 ECP treatments, he's off of all of his medication. His renal failure has gotten better. His insulin requirements are down by more than 50% on his diabetes. He's working on his diet and he feels just great. He does a lot of podcasts talking about how ECP changed his life. So I'm looking forward to reconnecting with Kenny at the Go Therefore conference, which is this weekend. It's the 28th and the 29th. Which is Friday night. It's Friday from 1 to 6, I think, and then all day on Saturday. I'm speaking on Friday evening, I think at 4:00. So I'm speaking on Friday evening. So these are geared towards equipping the ecclesia and the remnant warriors of the Christian faith for action. So I hope that you'll be able to join us. There's tickets are still available, and it's also available online. You can get tickets and you can actually stream it and watch it. So if you're not anywhere near Dayton, Ohio, you're in some other city, some other state, some other country, you can still participate in the great messages and the great camaraderie and fellowship that you're going to see at the conference here this weekend. The one other thing I wanted to mention, this week's Eye on the Evidence Substack that I wrote, the next $1 billion vaccine deal has been very popular. People have, you know, I've gotten more likes and more shares on this article showing about RSV for adults, the next RSV vaccine and all the horrible ingredients inside of this. It's just horrible stuff. So when the two vials are mixed together, there's all sorts of toxic ingredients, all sorts of toxic adjuvants. And we actually posted a link in there that you can actually do a whole course on the adjuvants if you want to know more about that. But then there's 2 RSV shots that they're coming out with, and they're both equally as toxic. And the Substack that will get posted this coming Saturday, that because I post Eye on the Evidence on Saturday and Walking with God on Sunday, will be the RSV vaccine for pregnant women and newborn babies. So that's part 2 of that article. And if you've been following me on Walking with God, it's going to turn out to be probably a 5-part series on the state, on going through the 2002 survey of state of theology. It's why we're in such big trouble, people, for all the Christians that are listening to this. It's why we're in such big trouble, because we are drifting further and further away from belief in God, belief in the Bible, trusting and accepting secular things such as abortions and transgender and homosexuality and all these secular things that we have been told are okay when they're really not. So it's a 4-part series. They're kind of long. I had somebody put in the Q&A of the I'm Walking with God that they were going to print them all out and hand them out to their and put them in a little folder and create a little booklet, which I'm hoping to do one of these days. I probably by the end of next year, I want to take the On Walking with God Substacks that I've done, because Quite honestly, I think they're pretty inspirational. Sometimes I go back and reread them and get a dose of my own medicine when I'm worrying or frustrating or doubting or something like that. I feel like they're God inspired. He sort of uses me to put them out there. And so sometimes I have to go back and take a dose of my own medicine that the Lord has given me for you. Which reminds me, this is the logo from On Walking with God. These are available in our store, you know, for our morning coffee. I like to use one of the cups, and actually I'm getting another cup. We just put a new t-shirt in there. It's called, you know, God's Children Are Not For Sale. And it's really true. And so it's been a really popular seller for us that we just created it. So, and you can also get it. I want to go and get it on a mug and maybe a t-shirt. I wear a lot of the t-shirts that I have from our store are spiritual t-shirts that I wear. I wear them on airplanes. I wear them out in public, and I have a lot of people will read them and they'll go, they'll give me a thumbs up sign. So with that, I think there aren't any more questions that I missed. Are there, Cookie?
Nope. You've covered them all.
All righty. Well, with that, I want to thank everybody who's joined us here on Tuesday morning with morning coffee. And I hope you started with some coffee. I'm going to take a sip here. Good stuff. Remember, we do 7 podcasts a week. We do This Week with Dr. T and the Deep Dive just for our premium podcast members on Monday. Monday night is our Brighteon.tv show. Last night, it was with Dr. Marion Grossman. We were talking about her new book and why she's really standing up against this transgender, I think it's called something trans nation. Do you know what remember what it is, Cookie?
I do not. I can post it later if we're about to end right now.
Okay, so we're going to be doing that. And then on Tuesday night is Happy Hour with Dr. T. Thursday night is Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. And for all of you guys who are in boot camp, this week is week four of the boot camp, and we've got a really special guest. It's a surprise guest who's going to be joining Dr. Northrup and Dr. Pilevsky Thursday night on this boot camp. It's a surprise special guest, just to try to give you a little bit more bang for your buck. And don't forget Remedy. Don't forget to sign up for Remedy. Charlene Bollinger's told me that I'm sort of like the star of the show. Used my 3.5-hour interview that I did with them more than anybody else in that video. And she thinks it'll make a big difference. So that's a bit.ly link, bit.ly/drt-remedy. So with that, I want to thank everybody again. We're going to close out with one of my favorite verses of the Bible, Romans 12:12. You guys should know all of this by now. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust him for everything. He really will never let you down. Thanks so much for joining me here today. Stay tuned for a couple extra minutes as we close this out for some words from our sponsors. We'll see you tonight at Happy Hour with Dr. T and at some of our other things the rest of this week. Have a good week, everybody. God bless. Light is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our OptiLine, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing, that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, our dollar could literally go to zero, could be worth nothing. You might not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with, because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT. That's bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT.